less than 1 minute.
Life, you hear me? Give my creation life.
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Begin countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Greetings, salutations, and good afternoon, everybody. Coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of beautiful Fort Myers, Naples, Florida area. And all around the world via the internet. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. We hope to have a good, entertaining, and informative program for you today. I have to quit talking like that. I said for ya. It's rubbing off. I betcha it's just rubbing off. So I'll try to complete my words from now on instead of talking like Ms. Sarah. All right? Debate tonight, 9 o'clock, last chance to pull a rabbit out of the hat for John McCain. It's going to be at Hofstra University up in New York. Bob Schieffer's going to be the moderator. Should be interesting. Ah, who am I kidding? Kidding. It most likely will not be interesting. Unless Mr. McCain decides to get rough, as he's been threatening to do. Maybe that would be interesting, but if it's going to be like the other campaigns, the campaign debates that we have seen so far, most likely it will be a disappointment. We shall see. 9 o'clock coming up tonight, and I do believe it is the last chance for Johnny McCain to get out there and score some points with the American public, because his little old boat is sinking fast. Very fast, and with the big anchor hanging around his neck, Sarah Palin, he's likely not to come up for air again. If he sinks really bad tonight at this debate, it's over for him. I think it's over for him anyway, and I'm not being overly optimistic, I don't think. But it just doesn't seem to me that he can pull out of this nosedive that he's in right now. Many red states have turned pink. Some of the pink ones have turned light blue. And it appears that Mr. Obama has an insurmountable lead at this point. And it also appears that the Bradley effect is not present right now. We've heard many reports about that, that number one, his lead is so big that the Bradley effect, even if it took its normal course, would not have an effect on this election, on the outcome of it. What may have an effect on the outcome of it would be all this crap that they're coming up with now, the Republicans are coming up with now to try and suppress the voting, trying to claim voter fraud. I'm sure most of you know by now that this Acorn business is one of the biggest ruses ever perpetrated upon the public by the right-wingers. We all know about the voter suppression that they've tried to do over the years with the federal prosecutors and getting rid of some of them, and how that all came about because they wouldn't go out and look for voter fraud. Really and truly, they didn't find any significant voter fraud of any kind, but it's something to talk about. It's something to keep their people riled up about. And I really do not believe that the Bradley effect is going to have a... And I don't think it's going to be a big factor in this race. Let me tell you why. Really, this is the first national race that we've had with somebody other than being Lily White. And so we don't have any basis, in fact, for thinking that it may be a national phenomenon. Yes, it took place in Los Angeles, but I don't know about how it will play nationally. Number one, that's one way. Another way to look at it is, there may be a lot of good old boys out there, and I hope there are, a lot of good old boys who just don't want to admit to anybody that they're going to vote for a black man. And they're just keeping it to themselves. And when they get all alone in the voting booth, what we call a conscience just might, the little angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other. And just maybe the little angel will take over and say, do the right thing. Do the right thing. You know you want to vote for Barack Obama. You know that's the right thing to do. You know you harbor racism in your heart, and isn't it time to get rid of that and do what's right for the country and vote for the most qualified candidate? So we may have a anti-Bradley effect to go on. I don't know. We shall see. It's going to be interesting to me. I know that. But we have a great guest coming up later on the program, one of my favorite people in Washington, D.C., a gentleman by the name of Peter Finn. He's the head of the Finn Communications Group. He's a strategist and great political commentary expert, and we're going to have Peter on with us at 4:30. We had him with us during the Democratic National Convention, and he's a great guy, and evidently, in talking to him today, he had just as much fun at that interview as I did, so he's going to be there today. Other news taking place today of note, Dick Cheney has an abnormal heart rhythm. And he's going to have a procedure on today, I guess, to, I don't know what they do, but to get his rhythm back with the right rhythm, I guess. And when I heard this on the news, I took pause for a moment. I said, Dick Cheney has a heart? Who knew? Who knew? All sorts of strange things going on in the news today. I couldn't help but looking at the economic news. The market, once again, is fluctuating wildly. It's up to 500 and some points down, and then it's now it's about 407 down. I'm sure I'm a few seconds behind on that. But I read the most interesting side note on CNNMoney.com. The Dow is down 500 points as recession fears resurface. Wall Street retreats as enthusiasm about the bailout wanes and recession fears resurface. Resurface? Did they go away? Does anybody that you know, has anybody that you know said that the recession fears have gone away? Resurface. I just found that very odd. Have you noticed that most of the economic websites and TV shows, have you noticed how they always beat their own drums? Don't want to admit that there's a recession. Don't want to admit that the market's tanking. Don't want to admit that they're always talking it up. Why? Because it's in their interest to talk it up. It's in their interest. So, recession fears have resurfaced. I don't know what that means. I really don't. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join us here at the program today. And speaking of economics, I heard a commentator on CNBC this morning mention that the reason that the market is tanked is because of Obama's tax hikes, proposed tax hikes, on the rich. Now, that is a stretch. That's a real reach right there. So thinking, trying to convince the American public that the market is tanked because of Barack Obama's proposed tax increases on people making over $250,000 a year. Wow. The thing I've wondered about, and I know many of you have wondered about too, I spend a lot of time thinking about this and researching this. Isn't there a point? Doesn't there come a time here in all of this discourse we've had over the past month, few weeks, over the, with Bernanke and Paulson and Bush and, you know, all the political hacks getting involved and all that. Doesn't there come a point when they talk about $750 billion and then $840 billion and 25 more billion dollars for the automakers and more billions for this and more billions for that. And now some of the big auto loan companies are wanting to shed their debt and have the government. Isn't there a point that we reach where as a people, as a nation, as Americans here, we say, where the hell are we going to get all this money to do this? And at what price? Have you got a wheelbarrow in your garage? You may need it. It might turn into one of those situations where you need a wheelbarrow or at least a large basket to put enough cash in to go buy a loaf of bread. Because that's going to be the result of this wildly throwing money at this situation. That will be the result. We're going to have runaway inflation. It always lags behind a bit. But that's what we're going to have by throwing money at this. There cannot be any other result. Which begs the point, and here we go, as it always is, guess who's going to pay for this bailout? Because the inflation is going to hit you, and it's going to hit myself, it's going to hit all of us who go to the grocery store and buy our loaves of bread, that the inflation is going to eat up the middle class once again. If you live down on Gulf Drive in Naples in a $30 million house, what difference does it make if a loaf of bread goes from $1.89 to $5? What difference does it make? Doesn't make any difference at all. Many $30 million homes there. So, sooner or later, we're going to pay the piper. And it's going to be the result, it's going to result in inflation. And it's going to result in our money being worth less and less. And the average wage earner is going to pay for that. That's how it is. And yes, it's true. It isn't going to touch the rich. They don't pay taxes in the first place. So yes, they talk about, well, they pay 50% of the taxes. If you made $500 million last year, you need to pay some taxes. And yes, you would pay more than the guy made 30 grand. I wanted to quickly bring up something here. Let me see if I can find this. Where did it go? Here we go. You know how this works out when I try and search a computer while we're on and while we're doing the show. Have you seen this really cool website called the Obama and Biden Tax Calculator? It's really great. Taxcut.barackobama.com. Taxcut.barackobama.com. And you simply go here and put in what's your annual income, okay? Let's say you've got one school teacher in your family. Let's say it's the guy and a school teacher. And let's say a couple. They're both school teachers. And they make around 75 grand a year. And in some areas, that would be good money for school teachers. Shamefully so, here in Florida where I live, teachers don't make squat, which is a a national disgrace. In several other places, they don't either. But let's say the two of you make $75,000 and you file jointly. And your filing status, let's see here. Let's go check this out. How many dependents they have? Let's just say there's the two of you. And you're not retired, and you just go through and check these, what the outstanding balance of your mortgage. Let's say you've got the average house in many of the places. Let's put $98,000. Okay? And check this. Calculate what your taxes are going to be. It's that simple. You can go there and do it. It's figuring it up for me, and according to the Obama tax plan, two school teachers in one household with a $98,000 mortgage are going to save $1,597 on their taxes. $1,597. That's pretty good, don't you think? John McCain's plan isn't anything like that. But check that out. That's a really great website. Again, it's, taxcut.barackobama.com. Let's see what it is with someone with a minimal income. Let's say $30,000 a year. And for filing jointly, let's see where we're at here. And let's say you got like a $30,000 mortgage. That would be reasonable, wouldn't it, for somebody with that income? Calculate what your taxes will be, and you will save $1,183 a year. With the McCain tax savings, with his tax plan, you save nothing. Nothing. So check it out. That's a great place to go and find out what the truth is on taxes. 866-546-5254. I do see that the Secret Service is finally investigating the threat from the Scranton-Palin rally. Finally got involved. Maybe they have been all along and just didn't mention it. I don't know, really. And speaking of the rally in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and Johnstown, Pennsylvania, I am frankly somewhat entertained by these tapes that we keep getting from all these Palin-McCain rallies, because it drives home the point that of what we're dealing with. And once again, I want to play one of these audios for you. This one's from the Johnstown, Pennsylvania rally, Palin rally. It just drives home the point of what we're dealing with and why in many cases it doesn't pay to even talk to them. Because they are, well, I think it speaks for itself. Let's just play this one.
Everybody wants Mary Hussein Obama.
Little Hussein wanted to see.
That's the guy with the monkey.
And good Americans.
Not a cross-section of America in this cabinet. It's going to be Al Sharpton, Reverend Wright, Jesse Jackson.
Who are the terrorists?
They're the terrorists. Ayers. Obama, Ayers. Connection. What more do you have to say?
Okay, Hitler was a socialist, too.
Congratulations for all Obama. Get a job.
Kiss my lips, Hank.
Once again, we have a Palin rally. This isn't just one rally where this happened. This is at most of them. This is at all of them lately, her rallies. This is the average crowd standing in line to see this woman who is preaching hate. And it shouldn't come as any surprise to anyone. Anyone who sees the political handwriting on the wall for John Sidney McCain and Sarah Palin that the Republican neocon forces are turning to what they know best. And believe me, what you just heard is what they know best. Fear and hate. The only thing is, this year, there seems to be a problem with their detestable tactics. They aren't working. Well, it's working for the people you just heard, their base. And that is, what you just heard is the average Republican base. When it comes to the point where every rally outside looking for Sarah Palin has the same comments and the same kind of people standing in line, then we are talking about the average Republican base. The crazies who would vote for Attila the Hun if he were a Republican. Those people are eating up this hatred and proposed violence coming from their candidates' rallies. And McCain and Palin have been preaching it at every opportunity. They're in full voice, and they can be seen by the thousands at every rally these people hold, particularly at the ones attended by the now disgraced Sarah Palin. You see, this woman is experienced in hatred for her country, particularly the lower 48. Do not forget, as CNN was about three or four weeks late in reporting after we reported it here on the Head On Radio Network and on the Guy James Show, about her deep ties to the Alaskan Independent Party, who want to secede from the Union because of their hatred for this country. She has never been proven to be a member, but she has attended their conventions. We all saw and heard the video of her sending him her best wishes while she's been governor of Alaska this year, complimented him, tell him to keep up the good work. And, of course, the first dude was a card-carrying member for many years. You tell me this woman doesn't know all about hatred and violence. Don't tell me a woman who campaigns for shooting wild animals while you're flying around in a helicopter doesn't have some bloodlust. Because she does, and she's damn proud of it. No, they're turning to what's won them the White House before. Fear Obama. He's a Muslim. He's an Arab. He's a terrorist. He's a one-man sleeper cell. He's a commie. He kills babies and eats them for lunch. He'll tax us all back into the poorhouse. Run for your lives. And one thing else that always comes out of every one of these, be it veiled or be it right out in the open, like the guy with the monkey. Did you know he's black? Did you know he's black? What was it the one guy said in that tape we just played? Well, if he gets in, he'll have a cabinet that's, let's say, not a cross-section of America. Oh, he might have some black people in his cabinet. Wouldn't that be awful? That's the veiled language they use. There's racism rampant in the Republican Party. Rampant. You very seldom see the Republicans talk about real issues. They don't because they can't. It's all sound bites and generalities with them. That's why it's maddening to even talk to them most of the time, because you bring up a true issue and they throw a sound bite at you. Like, Acorn started the recession. Yeah, oh hell yes. That's all they know. You hear the one woman on the audio clip we just had talking about IRS? She heard that from somebody else. She didn't know anything. Like I said, it's just sound bites and generalities with them. They're bored with facts and figures. They don't take the time to even learn them, except the ones manufactured by Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or the Heritage Foundation. And most of them can pee on your shoes and try and convince you it's raining. It's worked before, and they think it's going to work again. But apparently, the American public has had enough. They've seen the disastrous policies of the Bush-McCain administration lead this nation down the path of ruin. And they've seen the lives of thousands of our young men and women in the armed forces sacrificed for nothing whatsoever. Nothing. Nothing. Almost 4,200 of our military personnel, their lives sacrificed in Iraq for absolutely nothing. And I'm sorry if you're the parent of one of those kids that's died. If you're the parent of one over there now, I commend your kids and anybody that has joined the forces and gone over there. They are to be commended. They followed what their commander-in-chief told them to do, and that's what they're supposed to do. But they died and had their limbs blown off for nothing. Nothing. They've emptied our treasury. They've trashed our national prestige. And they've had our future threatened like never before. Finally, America is waking up. Finally. And that's what we're starting to see in the polls. They've proven over and over and over again lately, in the past few years, that they don't have a lock on ethics and morals. They don't have a lock on family values here in this country. That they are not God's chosen people. They've proven, and they continue to prove, time and time again at these rallies, that they're nothing but a bunch of thugs who, whenever it's necessary, will do whatever is necessary to win political power in this country. And as a result of them having political power in this country, you see what has gone on in Wall Street. You see who makes out in the end. You see that the poor and the middle class have suffered mightily, as they always do during Republican administration. Inevitably, when the Republicans have power, it comes to a point where the fat cats on Wall Street, the bankers, the stockbrokers, the hedge fund managers, and all that, make off with a fortune, and you get the finger. I don't know why it's taken Americans to take so long to see this. The voices of compassionate conservatism are finally putting out their real message in this presidential campaign. And I don't want to blame it all just on the people that are standing in line there, because that wouldn't be true. We've heard the candidates say, "Who is the real Barack Obama?" said McCain, like he's some sort of a foreigner. Who is the real Barack Obama? Like there's something mysterious about him. Like he might be a one-man terrorism cell, huh? That's the message. That's the veiled message. And this self-proclaimed owner of Ethics in Alaska, Sarah Palin, has the answer. Obama is not a man who sees America the way you and I see America. I see all of you standing in those lines, and all of you standing there and sitting there at my rallies, says Sarah Palin. You know what it's like to be an American. You love the flag. You love God and country, but those evil liberal Democrats don't. That's the message. That is always the message. He is not a man who sees America the way you and I see America. That is a horrible statement for a vice presidential candidate to make. And she also tells us that Obama says all of our troops do in Afghanistan is kill civilians. And then people yell, treason! Standing in a Palin rally with signs saying Obama bin Laden signs. Not a word from her. Kill him. It's not just the people in those lines. It's the leaders of their party. This meeting took place on Sunday in McCain's Gainesville, Georgia office. In the McCain campaign, Gainesville, Virginia office. Virginia Republican Party Chairman Jeff Frederick spoke to campaign volunteers who were about to go canvassing door to door. He jumped up on a chair and the devoted foot soldiers for the cause of America First. They were getting their talking points, and Frederick urged them to show the connection between Barack Obama and Osama bin Laden. Sending these Republicans out door to door, who cheerfully going to do it, of course, and telling everybody whose door they knocked upon that there's a connection between Barack Obama and Osama bin Laden. They were talking about William Ayers. They both have friends that bombed the Pentagon. That's pretty scary. And then a woman in that group says, and he won't salute the flag. Wearing one on his lapel. Saw a soundbite runtime of him at him with the national anthem being played. Not saluting the flag, and that's what it's come to. And you hear all the other things. We don't even know where Obama was born. I wonder if he knows. Unlike Obama, McCain wasn't actually born in the United States. He was born in Panama. Did you know that? That's legal, though. Not complaining about that. Oh, somebody sent me a little note that after all the hate and ignorance spewed at Palin and McCain rallies lately, it's time for a tasteless little joke. What's the difference between the Nuremberg rallies and Sarah Palin rallies? Lipstick. It's a vile, vile character. What do you think Sarah Palin will do when this election is over? Surely being the governor of Alaska won't be enough of a stage for her anymore after campaigning all over the country and giving a half dozen hate speeches every day while she's dragging the first dude and her kids along with her. Really, she'll have a bigger appetite than she's ever had for spreading her vocal manure that she comes up with. And really and truly, I think Fox is probably the perfect venue for it. I thought a lot about this. She's another one of these Cupid dolls that Fox has on, so let's put her on Fox. They'd be the perfect venue to have her on. I mean, they already have the master, the shameless weasel, Sean Hannity, and also Bill O'Reilly. So why not Sarah Palin? Hannity's good at whipping up people into frenzy. So get her on there, too. She's good at it, and I'm sure Rupert Murdoch will offer her an enormous salary. Go for it, Sarah. Just get on Fox there and slap on a big old gob of lipstick and some patent leather high heels and go for it. You could be their resident hockey expert. That's what you'd have to be if you know anything about hockey, in truth. God knows you don't know anything about domestic or foreign affairs. I love those Saturday night skits that I've seen. But really, it'd be hard to be more of a cartoon character than she is right now. But it might be possible if she'd go on Fox. I really think so. And I see that her spiritual advisor,
Lord make a way, Lord make a way for Sarah. Give her all the money she needs to be the governor of Alaska.
Well, her spiritual advisor, Bishop Thomas Muthy, the one who, the Kenyan pastor who protected Sarah Palin from witches and prayed to protect the vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin from witches, he's being criticized back home after it has now emerged that his chief claim to power, that he forced an evil spell-casting woman from town, well, it seems his claims are false. Not only is he a crazy witchcraft kind of guy, he's a lying crazy witchcraft kind of guy. Kind of fits right in there with the Sarah Palin image, don't you think? Bishop Thomas Muthy staked his early reputation in the town of Kiambu on boast that he banished a witch named Mama Jane. I like that. Mama Jane, whom he blamed for crime, traffic accidents, and public drunkenness in town. Once she fled, Muthy claimed, her spell was broken and peace returned. The fact is, Mama Jane never left. She's a pastor just down the road from Muthy's Word of Faith Church. And now rival pastors in Kiambu now denounce Muthy for his treatment of Mama Jane. You cannot make personal gain on crucifying a woman, said an ally of Mama Jane, Pastor Gideon Meana. As a man of God, you don't make your name by stepping on other people's names. Well, and this is a bishop, Thomas Muthy. Wonder how he got ordained a bishop, this witchcraft dude, who is so famous now for saying, Lord, make a way for Sarah. We're going to pause for a quick break. I love that story. I really do. We're going to pause for a quick break, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
They call themselves Mavericks. Whoa. Truth is, they're anything but. John McCain is hardly a maverick when seven of his top campaign advisors are Washington lobbyists. He's no maverick when he votes with Bush 90% of the time. And Sarah Palin's no maverick either. She was for the bridge to nowhere before she was against it. Politicians lying about their records? You don't call that maverick. You call it more of the same.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel. Fox News had Acorn on the Brain this week, mentioning the acronym for the Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now over 342 times since last Friday. Listen as Fox's Megyn Kelly mocked the organization, which is under investigation for voter fraud, for submitting voter registration forms with questionable names like Mickey Mouse.
I love that. They've got the obligation to submit it no matter what it says. Mickey Mouse, John Turkey, which we saw yesterday.
But in fact, in most states, independent voter registration efforts like Acorn are required to submit every voter registration form they receive or face steep fines. Acorn spokespeople say the organization has a system for flagging questionable forms before they submit them to government officials. And moving to today's most outrageous comment, here once again is radio host Michael Savage.
Not all Muslims are terrorists, but all terrorists happen to be Muslim. We have a very real obligation to remember that.
For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
Yeah, holy felon, that's called. I am the chosen one. Hey, welcome to the Guy James Show. Good to have all of you along with us this afternoon. We're naturally talking about politics. Big debate tonight. Are you going to stay up and watch it, or are you going to take a chance on getting disappointed once again? Here's what we'll see. I hope and pray that John McCain will open his yap tonight and bring up the William Ayers thing. I just really hope that he does. Because I believe that if he does, he's going to get his head handed to him on a platter. I think Barack Obama is ready for that if it happens. Frankly, I don't think he'll do it. Do you think he'll do it? I don't think he will. He now knows that those tactics have gotten him nothing but a nosedive in the polls. He might go for it anyway, but I hope to see that tonight. I do. I hope he tries it. And if he tries it, I think he's going to get his political ass kicked, which he's going to anyway tonight. I couldn't help but notice Michael Wiener, said that not all Muslims are terrorists, but all terrorists are Muslims. I don't know. Has he ever heard of Tim McVeigh? Killed what, 165 some people and injured a bunch more? Timothy McVeigh. All terrorists are Muslims? How about Terry Nichols? How about that guy up in, where was it, Montana, Idaho, that kept sending around the bombs to people? All terrorists are Muslim. Well, Mikey Wiener, as usually, you're wrong. I don't know. I guess people want to believe that, do they not? They want to believe that. If you have any brains, you go out and you look for the truth. Of course, I'm sure most of you heard about Rush Limbaugh's latest tirade. Now, he's another man that has ginned up hatred his entire career. He's a man who is as much a racist as anybody that ever lived on this planet. He constantly insults and defames anybody with that's other than white, as though he's any paragon of virtue himself, the kind of man who ought not ever pass out condemnation on anybody else. But he does it for sport. He does it for fun, and he does it for money, and he does it a lot. Limbaugh has taken up his own white hood, if you ask me. Let me quote him. And yet during this period of time, whether it be the last 57 years or be the last 20 years, it seems that a majority of the black population has remained angry, frustrated, and behind. They've been left behind. They're acting like they've been left behind, and of course we've heard that this is because of racism, natural systemic institutional racism in America, that we are unfair, that this country is just horrible and rotten. The federal government became the father. The father didn't have to hang around in order for the kids to be okay, depending on how you define okay. This is all from Rush Limbaugh. It has been a movement. It has been a religion. And Obama and Jeremiah Wright and William Ayers were all up to their big ears in it. Now, one must always wonder when listening to the words of Mr. Rush Limbaugh, whether it's him speaking or the drugs. You'd never convince me that he isn't doped out most of the time. You'd never convince me of that. This virtuous man, this multimillionaire that lives over in Palm Beach in his ivory tower, I wonder, does the KKK publish their membership rolls? Here's a man, Rush Limbaugh, who's as likely a member of that organization as anybody that I think I've ever seen in public. Do they publish their membership rolls? Are they secret? Surely Limbaugh's name has got to be on the membership list of the KKK. It would have to be. All the insults that he's passed out toward black people over the years. And think about that. The KKK. They may well be on the comeback trail. They may have a reemergence. Think about it. Probably be good for business to certain places in the United States, right? The sales of hoods and robes and torches might become a thriving business again. Big wooden crosses. Horses. And rope. Yeah, they'll flourish again. And they would do so with the blessings of a man like Rush Limbaugh. He is a tried and true racist, and yet he has, what, 20 million people a day, they say, listen to him? How could you listen to that man? How could you listen to him talk about other human beings that way? Because of the color of their skin? Or their religion? How could you do that? How could you do it for money? How could you do it if you had a conscience of any kind? Of course, we know that any man who's soaked in drugs and OxyContin, who doesn't even have the courage to go out and buy his own, but send his maid out to the Denny's parking lot to buy his drugs for him because he's so much of a coward. We know that his reputation is not worth much. And yet, 20 million people listen to him every day and say, "That's right, Rush, dittos. Dittos, Rush." I am confounded by that. I truly am. I see the stock market's down 605 points right now. What, did everybody forget about the recession on Monday? Was that it? When it went up, what, 960-some points? Did everybody say, "Oh, good, happy days are here again, the recession's over"? Yeah. How about it? You're going to be watching the debate tonight? How many times have we heard that phrase, John McCain needs a game changer, he needs a miracle, he needs to pull a rabbit out of a hat, like I said earlier in the day? We've heard that so many times. And he's been the comeback kid before. He was all but washed up in the Republican primary, and he came back from certain defeat in that and won it. And here we are, the last debate before the 2008 presidential election coming up tonight. The only problem is, every time John McCain, I see Ray says on the chat room, "Guy, you can get a list of KKK members by contacting the Louisiana Republican Party." Oh, boy. Yeah, wouldn't doubt that a bit. Wouldn't doubt it at all. The Klan rides again. Yeehaw. But we've heard this about McCain's last chance. We've heard it several times. And every time he has to make a choice, he really screws up really bad. Okay, he had to make a choice. His first important choice for the campaign was to choose a VP. And he chose Sarah Palin. And we know that that was an unmitigated disaster. We now know that. Yes, the racist in the party love her. The hardcore neocons in the party love her. But the rest of America thinks she's ridiculous. This we know. That's what the polls show. So his first big gamble was dead wrong. And then he said, he had to suspend his campaign. And you know what a big fat lie that was. He hasn't come close to winning a debate. And then he made the decision to go with the hate and the fear in his campaign. And he's gotten to the point now that he's 14 points behind in the latest national poll. Put it with, you know, take the margin of error off of that. Say it's only 10. Say it's only 11. He's not going to turn it around. He does have an advantage on this one that's going to help him out. This one, they're seated at a table. And it'll probably make him look a little bit better. Remember, Cheney and Edwards did that and sat at a table. So he may look a little better than he did like the wandering nomad on the stage the last time around. He looked lost. He looked befuddled. He looked... dare I say, erratic? Yes. Bob Schieffer is going to be the moderator tonight. I think Bob Schieffer will probably be fair to both of them. I don't know. We'll see what he comes up with questions. But Barack Obama, in my opinion, tonight just has to play not to lose. You know, one of those games? He needs just to be out there and be his Mr. Cool self, not make any major gaffes, probably not get into a battle of words with McCain, nasty words, and he won't. He is Mr. Cool. But the first moment that he said anything, McCain, I'm saying, the first moment that McCain said a word about Reverend Wright or William Ayers, I'd smack him right in the face with the Keating Five and explain it in detail and make McCain explain it in detail, if allowed by the moderator. He's just got to remain like he has been the rest of the debates. He has not been the fiery orator or all that, but somebody said it's just like all Obama has to do is run out the clock. Well, I don't like that kind of a football game. I like to see him fight right up to the end. But you think about McCain and the decisions he's made. He has absolutely painted himself into a corner. He should know by now that if he continues these terrible attacks that he's had, he's going to continue to lose support. If he gets on that racist thing, if he gets on that terrorist thing, if he gets on that who is Barack Obama, if he comes up with something new again, it's going to be the new program of the day, any kind of a new economic proposal. He's had one a day here lately. And if he starts in with that stuff again about, well, I know how to fix the economy. I know how to win wars. I know how, and I'll do it. I think it would behoove Barack Obama to say, okay, John, tell us. If you know why have you been keeping that to yourself? Why don't you go down and knock on the front door of the White House and tell Bush, if he knows how to stop this recession and he knows how to keep our boys and girls from getting killed overseas, why not tell him? Why save it for a political campaign? You know he wants to attack Obama tonight. He knows he thinks that he needs to. I don't think there's anything he can do. You know, he made his comments about John Lewis's remarks the other day. He's got his own people who disagree with everything he's been doing lately. His own people bailing on him right and left. So, as people have said, maybe he just needs to push his chips to the middle of the table and go all in and go for it. But, really, this is Barack Obama's game to lose right now. It really is. I don't think there's anything John McCain can do. I don't think there's any new strategy John McCain can take to win this election. Like someone sent me an email today, said almost has to say that not only did he pal around with Bill Ayers, but when he was eight, he was a member of the Weather Underground and helping assemble the pipe bombs while reading the Communist Manifesto. And I'm not so sure that McCain's so far behind it. Even that would do him any good. But McCain has been erratic. He has been unreliable. He has made a terrible choice in Sarah Palin. And do you do most of you, do any of you understand about how a lot of people are saying that she might be a force in the political party coming up in 2012? Does anybody really believe that? I have a hard time with it. I know the hardcore neocons that love her may think so, but woo, after seeing her performance in this VP race, how could she not end up just being another Dan Quayle or worse? I don't know. It's a mystery to me how anybody could say that she's going to continue to be a force within the Republican Party to be reckoned with. Why Romney and some of those people make mincemeat out of her. Just kind of weird. Well, we're coming up to the top of the hour. We hope you'll join us in the second hour, 866-546-5254. We're going to pause for news coming up into here in just a couple of minutes, and we hope you'll be here when we come back.
Listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. PepsiCo announced on Tuesday that it plans to cut 3,300 jobs and close 6 plants. The company, which is the world's number 2 drink producer and also owns the Frito-Lay and Quaker brands, plans to make the cuts both in and outside the United States. Announcements as to which plants will be shuttered will be made in the coming months. The company announced last week it's shifting focus back to soft drink promotion, after a long-running strategy of promoting more expensive-to-produce energy drinks. The AFL-CIO's Veterans Council is intensifying its Get Out the Vote effort to reach out to veterans. The Labor Federation will reach 1 million veterans in just 5 key presidential election states, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. Veterans who are also union members are telling other veterans that John McCain's voting record shows he hasn't fought for veterans in the Senate and won't really fight for them if elected president. Stymied contract negotiations have led to a Halloween concert by the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra to be canceled, Jesse Russell reports.
The Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra members have been on strike since the first week of October, and a lack of movement in contract negotiations has led to multiple concerts by the WCO being canceled, including the annual Halloween concert scheduled for October 24th. Part-time orchestra workers are seeking more flexibility in rehearsal attendance. The members said that management's rehearsal requirements are beyond what similar music groups are required to attend. Management and the orchestra members are also having a hard time seeing eye to eye with a proposed firing process for musicians. The two sides have been working with a federal mediator.
I'm very thankful that I found the union, and it's changed my life drastically.
Jeanette Harjo-Codd, one of thousands of people whose lives have been changed by the United Brotherhood of Carpenters apprenticeship program in New York City. Harjo-Codd came from Oklahoma and had no idea what unions can do for men and women looking for new opportunities.
Being in the union and with the Carpenters Union, it has changed my life dramatically. Financially, it has, and it's been very rewarding.
Here's today's economic report. What would Barack Obama do about the economy? Obama's economic plan includes massive investments in green jobs and an infrastructure jobs program that he says together would create 7 million new jobs. Obama would also cut taxes for all those earning less than $250,000 a year. He would suspend taxes on unemployment benefits and extend those benefits. Obama is also proposing a 90-day moratorium on home foreclosures. WIN's Labor News is now available right on your cell phone. Just dial 425-527-7001. Get your WIN Labor News on your cell phone at 425-527-7001. You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Here's the guy changing the way you hear music, Billy Shears.
Sounds every Saturday night, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. You'll hear the latest in new music releases, special segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications with the sassy and classy Erica Richards. For requests and dedications, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. So tune in and stop by the chat room this Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Thanks for lending an ear.
He's practicing the politics of the past. John McCain. His attacks on Barack Obama? Not true. False. Baloney. The low road. Baseless. John McCain. Same old politics. Same failed policies. Barack Obama supports a $1,000 middle class tax cut, an energy plan that takes on oil companies, develops alternative fuels, and breaks the grip of foreign oil. That's change we can believe in.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Throw the second switch! Throw the third switch!
Not the third switch!
Throw it, I say! Throw it!
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, do you hear me? In my creation!
This was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go! Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
Your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
You betcha. Guy James back with you. You betcha. Ah, Sarah. Thanks for joining us here this afternoon on the Guy James Show. Always good to have all of you along with us. I just looking through the news here once again. I failed to mention earlier that we American forces have caught and killed, I guess, the second in command of Al-Qaeda. Again, that's three times now that I know of that they've caught and killed the second in command of Al-Qaeda. I guess somebody just keeps moving up, right? They got a list of their top 10. Is that how they do it? And when the guy above gets killed, just like in the football polls here, the rest of them move up. Huh. Interesting. Caught him. And killed him. And you know all this business about Acorn. Oh, my head is starting to hurt. I read that Fox News somewhere has had 700 and some mentions of Acorn since Friday. You talk about much ado about nothing. Now here's an organization that has done nothing but get out the vote, work on registering new voters all across the country for years. They pay people to go out and get new registrations. And human nature being what it is, some of those people go out and sign up Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and Tony Bromo and I don't know how many other names and turn these in so they can get paid per registrant that they register. So they turn in 100 that they've gone out and registered, I don't know where, the shopping center or the local strip center, wherever they've done it, wherever they've had their drive. I don't know how much they get paid for each one. Let's say they get paid $1 apiece for every one. Well, they turn them in, they get paid, and then Acorn finds that, and Acorn's not allowed to throw these out, okay? As I understand it, Acorn themselves are not allowed to throw these out, so they have to turn them in, and naturally it looks bad when Donald Duck is registered, but is somebody in a duck suit going to show up at the polls and vote? No. So there is no voter fraud here. There is no voter fraud at all. And yet, here we turn over to how, I mean, we're hearing that story over and over and over again. Every Republican's got, you know, all those terrible people in those lines at the Palin campaign at their rallies. Now, Acorn, a lot of them don't know what that acronym stands for. It's hard to remember. We've got so many acronyms nowadays. Oh, my God. And so they yell it out, don't even know what they're talking about. And yet it's become a great big thing, something else to tar and feather the Obama campaign with. It's not going to work. It is not going to work. And yet we have this going on in Ohio. You talk about voter suppression. This out of Columbus, Ohio, more than 200,000 Ohioans who registered to vote this year for the very first time or updated their voting information since January 1st could be affected by the latest court ruling. And this is the way they try and do it, requiring the state to set up a new registration verification system by Friday. This is how they do it. They put impossible demands, and then when the Secretary of State can't come through with them, then they start this voter fraud crap. Bruner said she would comply with the U.S. Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals ruling late Tuesday, but said she's deeply concerned that the decision is a veiled attempt at disenfranchising voters. It's not a veiled attempt. It's out in the open. How many states have they done this in? The court's 9-6 opinion, written by Judge Jeffrey Sutton, suggested that voters whose driver's license number or Social Security number does not exactly match those found on databases maintained by the Ohio Bureau of Motor Vehicles or Social Security Administration could be required to use provisional ballots instead of conventional ones. So it's going to cause a great big headache for the Secretary of State, and there'll be perhaps thousands of people, again, disenfranchised that lose their vote. That's how they do it. Do want to remind you once again that we've got a great guest coming up at the bottom of this hour. We've got Peter Finn is going to be with us at the bottom of this hour. Always a pleasure to talk to Peter. He's one of the nicest guys in Washington, and he's what he doesn't know about politics in D.C. isn't worth knowing, I don't think. He's a political commentary expert, and we'll have Peter with us at 4:30 coming up at the bottom of the hour. I enjoy talking to that guy. I do. 866-546-5254. We've got this voter suppression thing going on in Nevada. The situation in Nevada is ripe for what's become a primary Republican strategy in the election. They're going to go after this by hook or by crook, folks. I think you all know that by now. You're going to see it down and dirty. Absolutely down and dirty. Acorn's registered more than 100,000 new voters in Nevada alone. So we'll see where that goes. Flawed registration cards. They're going to do everything they can to suppress, to intimidate, anything necessary in this, what has become absolutely cheap and desperate and despicable campaign. Well, that's exactly what it is. Have you seen the final Dow Jones average, 734.75 down? Oh, my God. Oil's down to 74. And by the way, oil's down to 74 and change, 54 cents. How much is gas going down where you live? It's gone down considerably here, but not near as much as it has in other places. I'm hearing reports of places where gas is $2.30, $2.40 a gallon. And here it's still well over $3. Is that how it is where you live? Let me know. Any of you on the chat room, let us know what you pay for gas right now. If any of you got it down in the... Well, we've got one report of $2.99 there so far. Ours is about a quarter more than that right now. I mean, it's going down just about every day, but I did notice that there are people, and we hear this one gas is $2.69. We're getting screwed here in Florida. There isn't any question about that. I suppose our friends in California are still paying more, maybe even in New York. I'm not sure. But yeah, I am glad it's down. But since it's down to $74 a barrel, shouldn't gas be down around? Shouldn't it be down around two and a quarter? If you're going to think back to when gas was, when oil was, a year ago, gas was what, $2.25, $2.30? Should be back down there again. Let's check and see how the gold market did today. Have some friends that pay very close attention to that. I have a friend that buys and sells gold. And it's amazing the amount of money that they deal with. Tremendous amount of money that they deal with. Oh, that can't be right. Don't know what's going on with that. Does 839, can that be? I'm not sure, but it is interesting to watch people buy and sell gold, when gold started going up really high. Lots and lots of people started coming into jewelry stores and places that buy gold and just, getting rid of all their gold. And then it went down, and it's kind of, it's at an ebb and flow. But some of these people that buy gold, they're talking about, I know a gentleman that buys $200,000 or $300,000 worth of gold every week. Sometimes he wins, sometimes he loses. I think it's just a big, it's a gamble. It is a gamble. We, talking about Acorn, and I didn't want to let this go by, the Republicans, gold is up to 847, okay. Thank you for that, Lilo. Acorn and these bad registrations that are getting and all, and they're starting to talk about voter fraud. Anybody remember the name Laura Ingraham? She lives right straight across the state over in the East Coast, or just about directly east of where I live on the other coast. And Laura Ingraham tried to commit voter fraud and was actually caught last year, and ended up she was not prosecuted for it. She should have been. Anybody remember that? And we're finding out that the White House now has used taxpayer-funded trips to help elect Republican candidates. Well, well, well. In the midterm elections, they flew people all over the country to elect their candidates. Didn't turn out so well. Boy, I'll tell you who is not turning out so well for it now is this Tim Mahoney. If I were him, and I'm not, if I were him, I'd just go hang it up today. What he really ought to do. Turns out he's had two women going at one time. Oof. Ugly mess. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join us on the program. Another thing I wouldn't do tonight if I were John McCain is I wouldn't get all hot to trot about William Ayers and others because he's got some people in the closet himself. I don't think that he wants people to look at. And John McCain and his campaign, well, they try and excoriate Barack Obama for serving on the same public agency board as Bill Ayers. And they claim that Barack Obama's best pals with a terrorist. Well, we find out now that McCain's new head of his presidential transition team, whom I don't think is going to have much of a job there for very long, he was once a lobbyist for Saddam Hussein. That's right, that's Saddam Hussein. William Timmons, the Washington lobbyist who John McCain named to head his presidential transition team, aided an influenced effort on behalf of Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein to ease international sanctions against his regime. The two lobbyists who Timmons worked closely with over a five-year period on the lobbying campaign either pleaded guilty to or were convicted of federal criminal charges that they had acted as unregistered agents of Saddam Hussein's government. During the same period, beginning in 1992, Timmons worked closely with the two lobbyists, Samir Vincent and Tongson Park, on a previously unreported prospective deal with the Iraqis in which they had hoped to be awarded a contract to purchase and resell Iraqi oil. Timmons, Vincent, and Park stood to share at least $45 million if the business deal went through. That is just one more of an example that if the Republicans do it, it must be just fine. But I wouldn't worry much about it because this presidential transition team of John McCain's isn't going to have a lot of work to do. It's one of those cases where their job is over with before it's even started. Market down 734 points today. I as I mentioned earlier, I find it really interesting to see that CNN Money says that the enthusiasm about the bailout wanes and recession fears resurface. Had they gone away? 733 points down. That's evidently where it has settled. And so we're right back where we were, aren't we? On Monday we had a big rally, and then we lost some yesterday. Probably a little up for the week. What, maybe 100 or so up for the week? I wouldn't take any of this as exactly a great vote of confidence for all that's going on to try and save Wall Street and save us all. Ran across an interesting little story here. Called the bulls, the bears, the donkeys, and the elephants, since 1929. And people should pay attention to this. Since 1929, Republicans and Democrats have each controlled the presidency for nearly 40 years. So which party's been better for American pocketbooks and capitalism as a whole? Well, here's an experiment. Imagine that during these years you had to invest exclusively under either Democratic or Republican administration. How would you have fared? As of Friday, a $10,000 investment in the S&P stock market index would have grown to $11,733 if invested under Republican presidents only, although that would have been $51,211 if we exclude Herbert Hoover's presidency during the Great Depression. Invested under Democratic presidents, only $10,000 by now would have grown to $300,000 at a compound rate of 8.9% in over nearly 40 years. I think we see who is good for America and who is not. That's at Money Magazine, by the way. Some very interesting figures in there. The Republicans always like to talk about who's good for America and the economy. Well, it certainly is, sure as hell is not them. It certainly isn't. We're going to pause for a quick break here, and we'll be right back. You
We're voting Republican because we don't like shopping at small neighborhood stores.
We don't want the problem of choosing where to shop.
And we just love cheap plastic crap from China.
I'm voting Republican because I don't really want a cure for AIDS or breast cancer. They're just gays and women.
I'm voting Republican because I think new drugs should be made available immediately, whether they've been tested properly or not. If the major pharmaceutical companies' bottom lines are healthy, then I feel healthy too.
Bye-bye, baby. Have a good day. I'm voting Republican so that my little Caitlin can be in the classroom with at least 30 other children. That way, she can be challenged by fighting for attention.
I'm voting Republican because women just can't be trusted to make decisions about their own bodies. Never, ever, ever.
I'm voting Republican because I've already seen the great outdoors. Continuing our use of fossil fuels freely is far more important than preserving our natural wildlands.
We're voting Republican because we like a conservative majority on the Supreme Court.
We really like knowing that even if we're separate, we'll still be called equal.
I'm voting Republican because I need to be told who I can love.
I told you.
Honey, I need the government to tell me.
I just need them to tell me how I can best show a lifetime commitment.
And Republicans are just the folks to do that, sweetheart.
I'm voting Republican because corporations should not have to pay to clean up environmental damage. The EPA is an outmoded idea. If people want clean water, buy it in a bottle.
I'm voting Republican because I don't want to know if the food I'm eating has been genetically modified or exposed to radiation. I don't want to have to live with that fear, you know? So, if the label says it's food, that's good enough for me.
I'm voting Republican because
I really enjoy being screwed by the utility companies.
We need more minorities in prison.
Because hybrid cars really suck.
I just don't feel I deserve health insurance.
Because Texas needs more billionaires.
I'm voting Republican because sometimes the Constitution is just one big inconvenient headache.
I think the whole world should be run by one big corporation. I think it'd be so much cozier.
Because all other countries are inferior to us.
We should start as many wars as we need to keep it that way.
So I can stay in Iraq.
So I can go to Iran.
So if you were thinking about voting something besides Republican, don't bother. Stay home. We've got it all taken care of. You'll get exactly what you deserve.
Yeah.
here at the Guy James Show. Welcome back. And we have with us now, as promised, one of the most delightful people in Washington to talk about, and certainly one of the most knowledgeable about what goes on there. And we've Peter Fenn of Fenn Communications. Peter, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Great to be back with you.
Last time we spoke, we were high atop the Democratic National Convention, and I mean high atop.
Yes, we had a great view of everything below us, that's for sure, in those great seats.
Well, a lot has happened since then, and I'm feeling as confident as one can feel this time of year in election season. And it looks good to me that Obama may have a lead that, well, it's his to lose, I think. I'm wondering how you feel about it. Do you get overconfident, or how do you feel about it right now?
Well, I'll tell you, Guy, this is such an unusual year in so many different respects that I always have to knock on wood quite a bit before I predict something like a Democratic victory. But I will tell you, I think that the one thing we have seen over this last year and a half with Barack Obama is a real steadiness of purpose, a real coolness under pressure, a real desire to make real change in the country. And you know, I think people get that. They've watched him now. He's been tested so thoroughly over this period. Every debate he gets into, I mean, I think people become more and more impressed with him. And, you know, contrary to John McCain, who has kind of been, I think, in the course of this campaign, rash and brash and a bit out of control. And I think, you know, this economy is in a tailspin. You know, we were talking before the, you know, during the break, I mean, they're talking about recession. I mean, most people are thinking this is about as close to a depression as many of them have ever seen. Those folks whose 401k plans have tanked, who can't afford college for their kids, you know, who are worried about making the monthly payment for their house or their condominium, they've had it, and they want somebody, at the helm who they think is has got some new policies and who is steady and strong and a leader. And I think they're seeing that more and more with Barack. So, you know, these polls continue to just astound me. I mean, double-digit leads in some of these red states. So we'll see. But I think Obama's just doing a heck of a good job, as Bush would have said about it.
Oh, yeah.
Buddy Brownie.
Yes. I've been out, you know, speaking of a depression, I've been out trying to find a good source for apples. I'm trying to decide how much to sell them for on the street corner. I think they were a nickel or so back during a depression. I hope it doesn't come to that. But it is an ugly situation with this economy right now. And what do you do if you're John McCain right now? You can't run on the war. You can't run on the economy. And so you've got to beat down Obama. And obviously, according to the polls, it's just not working.
No. In fact, you know, the one thing, Guy, I will say, I've never seen this before. Usually when you do the kind of attack campaign that McCain's been doing for months now, what you do see is you see your opponent's negatives go down. Your opponent's negatives go up, but yours go up too. But, you know, the interesting thing is in the latest polling, Obama's positives have gone up and his negatives have actually dropped underneath this. And I think the reason is that people don't care about a 1960s radical that he sat on a board with, you know, funded by the conservative Annenberg Institute. People don't care about petty stuff, which is, you know, and they don't believe comprehensive sex education for kindergartners. You know, this kind of stuff is silly, crazy, stupid stuff that the McCain people convinced him to air, and they're concerned, as we just talked about their own lives, their own pocketbooks, their own futures, their kids' futures. This is a big election. This isn't a petty election, and John McCain is turning it into a petty campaign. And if tonight he comes out of there swinging about William Ayers, you know, I think he's going to tank even further.
Well, I hope he does that.
Scared.
Yeah, I hope he
does too.
Yeah, I look forward to it, and I bet you. Oh, there I said it. I betcha.
You betcha.
I'm sorry, everybody.
gosh darn, gee whiz.
By golly, if he tries that tonight, yeah, he'll have his head handed to him on a platter, I'm sure. It just won't go down very well. I'm looking at here, and I wonder, a guy like you, do you have a great big electoral map on the wall of your office?
I do, and I look at it, and it's funny. It's getting bluer. I don't know what's happening.
Well, some
I'll
of
tell
this...
you what I do have. I have a coffee cup where you pour hot coffee in it, and the red states turn to blue. Have you seen that one?
No, I haven't.
That's a pretty cool little. I'll have to send you one of those. You'll love it.
I'd like to have one of those. but it is remarkable to see that, like Montana. I've got Politico's map up right now. Montana and North Dakota and Georgia turning pink. I mean,
it's you know, if the map is getting getting bigger and bigger for Obama and smaller for McCain. I mean, when you think about this guy and you look at some of those states, you know, North Carolina, Virginia hadn't gone Democrat since 1964. You know. Indiana's in play. Missouri's in play. I mean, there's a new poll. I don't believe it, but North Dakota back with Obama up. You know, now we are really looking at a whole different kind of map. The latest polls in Florida are very strong. You know, and in some of these Senate races, like in Georgia, or Mississippi, the Democrats could win those races.
Oh, yes.
Kentucky. I mean, that's, you know, that no one would have even thought that was possible 6 months ago. The map is changing, too, in terms of demographics. I mean, you're seeing record voter registrations. You're seeing record numbers of young people. You're seeing record numbers of Obama folks. And if you think about this, he's going to probably be at 3 million donors for his campaign, which, of course, is absolutely extraordinary. And if he wins this election with about 65 million votes, that'll mean one out of every 20 or so folks that vote for him have given him money.
Oh,
and probably walked precincts and probably made phone calls.
Yes, it's a great situation. And I think as far as precinct workers and all that, it was brought to my attention yesterday by some people I know in Pennsylvania that the McCain people would like very much to pull out of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they
would love to pull the money off of Philadelphia and Pittsburgh television stations, probably put it down there in Florida. And they know they can't do it because that pretty much admits defeat. So they have to be very careful about it. But you know, when Obama has people coming out of the woodwork to work for him, and McCain has to pay folks $12 an hour down there in Florida to go door to door, that says something about the lack of enthusiasm on that side. I sure would.
Well, I think so too. When you see somebody by the name of Buckley, that's not going to vote for Obama. That's it's an unusual year. I didn't think it would go this way. I really didn't. I thought it was going to be a nail biter, and maybe I should shut up.
We have to be careful because, as we know, 3 weeks is an eternity in politics. And the one thing that if you look back at the last 60 years of history, Guy, and these open seat races, look, John Kennedy, Richard Nixon, that was 117,000 votes. 1968, when nobody thought the Democrats after the convention, the Vietnam War, Lyndon Johnson had much of a shot. Hubert Humphrey came back, and he only lost that race by 135,000 votes. And, of course, 2000, we know that well. That's when we won by 500,000 votes, those Democrats. But these tend to be close elections, and I think a lot of people, you know, they at the end they kind of come back home. And so I think Democrats should be kind of careful about false euphoria. We got a lot of work to do in the last 3 weeks.
Well, as McCain said yesterday, they're measuring the drapes. We will keep the tape measuring the door for right now. People, are you keeping track of the Senate race? Do you think we can get to the magic 60 if places like Georgia, like Saxby-Chambliss, for example?
I think it's possible. I was with a whole bunch of Washington former chiefs of staff today in the Senate. I was speaking to them about this and some of my old buddies. And you know, where my son's out there in Colorado campaigning for Mark Udall. I think he's going to win. Tom Udall, I think, is a done deal in New Mexico. I think we're going to win Oregon. You know, if there's obviously if Alaska, you know, Stevens gets convicted on just one, even one count of all the crazy stuff he's been doing, you know, Alaska, we win. Minnesota, I was just out there last week. I think that one is turning blue. I think that folks thought Al Franken was in deep trouble in August. He's now ahead in those polls. You know, I think you've got Elizabeth Dole, who a year before last and made all of it was in North Carolina for all of 13 days. She hadn't shown much interest in North Carolina. These last number of years, she hadn't been back there. She's going to lose, I think, in North Carolina. With the McConnell Georgia races, New Hampshire is looking pretty tough for the Republicans. The double digit lead right there right now for Obama should bring Jeanne Shaheen in over John Sununu, I think. So, you know, yeah, Virginia's a lock. I mean, that's a John Warner's already. I mean, he might as well measure the drapes there. So, you know, you get pretty close to 10 seats here if some of those southern seats come through. A friend of mine is running in Idaho. He's even given folks a race out in Idaho. I mean, that's
unheard
amazing.
Of. Unheard of. And about the House, you think maybe 17, 18 seats?
I predicted about 3 months ago 15 to 20. I think we can go over that. I can see it getting up to 25 on that. I think the only we got a seat that's probably in deep trouble down there in Florida.
Oh yeah.
I think that one's gone now. There's one in Pennsylvania that's a nail biter. But I don't think the Democrats are going to lose too many of their incumbents. And I think most of these open seats are going to go for the Democrats. So, you know, I think we're looking at a pretty good Tuesday with the Senate and the House.
Well, and Obama has done much to help these senatorial campaigns and House campaigns come along. I mean, a lot of people are going to ride his coattails that ordinarily wouldn't have made it in office. I think his popularity has been a boon to the party just all the way down, and that's a great thing.
You're absolutely right. And some of those states, I think Minnesota is a classic example of that, New Hampshire, where these things in an ordinary year, some of these folks would have probably survived. But Obama is very strong in those states, and I think, you know, the other seat that they're talking about, possibility, I was Tad Devine, who's a Democratic consultant, a good friend of mine, told me 2 weeks ago that it was down to 8 points in Maine, in that race, which people did not have on their radar screen either. So, you know, this is, I mean, I lived through it on the other side, guy. I was out in Idaho for Frank Church as his campaign manager in 1980, and I watched that tsunami come across the
country. Oh, yeah.
And roll over us in Idaho. And we lost 12 Senate seats that year, I believe it was. Democrats did.
Yeah,
that was devastating. We lost one in Florida to Paula Hawkins, I remember.
So, tsunami is right. That was buddy have a drink time for me. That was a rough year for Democrats. Well, I think we might return the favor this year.
That would be fun, wouldn't it?
it would indeed. What will you be doing from now until the election?
Well, I've got a few more ads to produce out there in the hustings. You know, as you wind down on these things, the last week or so, there's not a lot to do. I might go over into Virginia and start knocking on some doors, because that's a state that I think Barack Obama can win, and he needs all the help he can get down there.
Peter, how long have you been involved in this?
No, I've loved politics ever since I was a kid. I worked as a young boy in the 1960 campaign for Kennedy. My dad was involved in Massachusetts politics. He was a delegate to the 1960 Democratic convention for Kennedy, and so I was kind of in my blood, I guess you'd have to say.
That was my first campaign as well, as a young lad. That was exciting. I think I was I was 15 years old. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, given the way the old age there. Peter, thanks so much for being on the program. A pleasure to have you on. I respect your opinions, and when I even see you on TV, I try and find out when you're going to be on. You have a sensible approach to this, and always a wonderful demeanor about it, win or lose, and that's something that we can all appreciate. And I just want to thank you so much, Peter Finn, for being on the Guy James Show today.
Guy, thanks so much. It's really great to chat with you again, and I look forward to the next time.
All right. Bye now.
Thank you.
One of my favorite guys in Washington, he knows everything about politics, as he said he's been involved in it, is heavily involved in it, knows all the campaign managers, knows everybody, and all he's got to do is pick up a telephone, and he can find out just what the mood is in any state you want to know about. And as you could tell by the discussion, he is deeply immersed in it. And can tell you about every House race, every Senate race across the country just exactly. I bet you couldn't stump him on a single one if you called him right now. So that's how up and running he is on all of that. And I appreciate it very much. Peter Finn, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254, if you'd like to join the program today, and we'd certainly like to take your call. Let's listen to some economic news. We've been hearing about all this bailout and all, and how the Treasury is going to have an undue influence, they think, over some of the banks. Let's listen to the report on it.
Listen to your preferred news feeds with Odiogo.com.
Now it's official. Treasury can't influence how banks use cash infusion. Per Bloomberg, Treasury operatives have admitted, despite Henry Paulson's protestations to the contrary, that the government can only hope for the best in how the nine banks given a collective $125 billion cash infusion early in the week make use of the loot. Quote, Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson persuaded nine major U.S. banks to accept $125 billion in government investment. Getting them to lend it out may prove a tougher sell. The equity stakes the government is purchasing in Citigroup Incorporated, Morgan Stanley and seven other big institutions come with no guarantee that the investments will spur lending and unfreeze credit markets. Nor do they give the government board seats or any other leverage to demand that the firms actually use the money to help the economy. The truth of the matter is, they could put a gun to their head and say you have to lend this money, said Charles Horn, a former official at the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, part of the Treasury Department, and now a partner at the Mayer Brown Law Firm in Washington. Treasury officials acknowledge they can't force banks to get the taxpayer money into the hands of their customers. Instead, officials are betting that the government's investment will create conditions where banks have a greater incentive to earn profits from lending than to hoard money to shore up their balance sheets. It's in their economic interest, said David Nasson, the Treasury's Assistant Secretary for Financial Institutions, in an interview with Bloomberg Television. When you give them a stronger capital position and you also provide a certain amount of government backstop to their funding sources, it's incumbent upon them to go out and continue to lend. Unquote. In the old days, when bankers and corporate executives had some respect for authority, moral suasion, aka jawboning could prove effective. Those days now seem to be a distant memory.
Well, I dreamed I saw the knights in armor come saying something about a queen. There were peasants singing and drummers drumming, and the archers split the tree.
There was a fanfare blowing to the sun that was floating on the breeze. Look at Mother Nature on the run in the 1917. I was lying in a burned-out basement with a full moon in my eyes. I was hoping for a replacement when the sun burst through the skies. There was a band playing in my head, and I felt like getting high. Thinking about what a friend had said, I was hoping it was a lie.
Well, I dreamed I saw the silver spaceships flying in the yellow haze of the sun. There were children crying and banners flying all around the chosen one.
All in a dream, all to a new home in the sun. Flying Mother Nature's silver seed to a new home in the sun.
Ah, beautiful piece, beautiful piece. Prelude after the gold rush. Thanks for joining us here on the Guy James Show today. Always good to have Peter Finn along. I have been, as many of you are, I'm sure, spending considerable time lately watching the electoral map, and it's really interesting to see them go back and forth, although there seems to be a trend at the moment, actually several moments now, where it is trending one way and one way only. We're not seeing for a while, some states were going back and forth and back and forth. We're seeing them move now, but not back. And of course, I'm speaking to the fact that they're turning blue, and the blue ones, none of the blue ones lately have turned pink or almost none of them. So there's a definite trend going on, and it's not a fact that we're going to win Ohio. It's not a fact that we're going to win Florida or Missouri or maybe even Colorado or Nevada. But the trend, it's all funneling down and starting to look very, very good right now. Very, very good right now. New England is solid. I don't think we're needing to worry about New Hampshire. And as Peter said, a state like North Carolina. Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter took much of the South, but the South, for the most part, has been solid. I'm counting on Bob Kincaid up there to help us take West Virginia. It's still solidly in the red here, although I see it's closing some. So, Bob, we're counting on you to get out the vote in West Virginia. That's a lot of pressure to put on him. West Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, South Carolina, a state that I can't imagine South Carolina changing for a good long time, especially this year, and if you know what I mean, and you know what I'm saying. Mississippi has closed up a little bit. Arkansas is a possibility. Mississippi really isn't, but Arkansas is a possibility. Indiana is a possibility. And Montana and North Dakota are possibilities. I think we're in very well with Nevada, Colorado, New Mexico, North Carolina, and Virginia, and surely Pennsylvania. Ohio and Florida could do some changing, but I don't know. I can't see it happening. I just can't see it happening. So, Bob, if you heard us there, we're counting on you to come across with a victory up there in West Virginia. I don't care how you do it, just get it done. And if anybody can do it, it's Bob Kincaid. You know that, of course. I'm still fascinated by those remarks that I'm seeing on the economic websites about how recession fears have resurfaced. I would like to talk to the people who wrote that. And we are seeing all sorts of, stories like more signs of credit easing. Have you seen any signs of credit easing? I haven't. Maybe between the banks. They talk about the LIBOR rate changing quite a little bit. Maybe it's easing. I hope it is. I certainly hope it is. Will you be watching the debate tonight? And if so, why? And if so, well, what will you be looking for tonight? What are you betting on happening tonight? We don't have our little bingo game to play tonight on how many times Sarah was going to say, by golly, I bet you, and all that, and winking. We don't have that. They will be seated tonight at tables. That'll be something a little bit different. And like we mentioned earlier, that means John McCain will not be wandering aimlessly, erratically around the stage and looking a little silly at times. So that'll be something in his favor. But I find it unimaginable that he could catch Obama in any kind of a huge gaffe. Obama, as Peter mentioned, and I complained about it for a while. I did complain about it for a while. I saw the Obama campaign is just steady, 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 steady. Just if it was, you know, just a straight line across, no big ups, no big downs, none of that. And McCain has looked, well, his campaign has looked like, if you do a graph, it'd be look like what the stock market has been lately. But Obama's just been straight across, and I'd be the first to admit I've complained about that. I have. You know, a little more fire in the belly, pound on the table, do this, do that. Well, thankfully, Barack Obama didn't take my advice, and he kept it steady, consistent. His message has been very consistent. He has been cool, calm, and collected, and I don't know when we've had a better candidate, frankly. And he's overcome some huge obstacles. He's done it with class. He's done it with dignity. And I'm very proud that he's our candidate. You know, when all this started so many months ago, what is it, about 20 months ago now, I mentioned many times on the program that I felt that, you know, we were going to elect a Democrat this time, and that we had so many good choices, and we did. We had some wonderful, you know, candidates this time around. There's just some great ones. And actually, the only ones we've had on the program, we had Dennis on, and we had Mike Gravel. I'm leaving him out of that wonderful category. Mike's a little bit on the how shall I say this? A little bit on the wild side, all right. And Dennis, of course, always a favorite here on the Guy James Show, and with so many of you I know as well. But we couldn't lose this time around. I really felt that way, and I sometimes put my heart out on my sleeve, and when I came back from the convention, I felt that there was magic the night in the stadium that Barack Obama accepted the nomination. And I remember Bob and I talking about it that night, and that's what I said. It was magical. It was. It was a special time, and I think we have a very special candidate. And he's overcome all the obstacles that a candidate needs to. He's brilliantly intelligent. He's got a great demeanor. He's overcome the race problem. He's withstood every challenge that they put up to him. He's withstood all the mud that they've thrown at him, and it has been much. The attacks on him, his wife, everything but his children, his religion, his race. And still, he's been, he stood tall through it all. And I'm very proud of him. And I think he is a man that we can count on to be a good president. I think he's a man that has the potential of greatness. I do. And I'm very proud to have him as our candidate this time around. Gosh, it's been somewhat quiet from you today. I know, you're all getting ready to have your debate parties tonight, right? What are you going to have for your debate party? Are you going to have pizza and pop, or are you going to fix a big tray of hors d'oeuvres? I don't know what I'll do, but I'll probably watch it till it's over and listen to a few of the pundits. By the way, I do want to ask, and your opinion, you can email me on it. What do you think of the job Rachel Maddow is doing? I think she's doing very well with her TV show. She seems to even have a different persona, having her own show than she has on radio or that she has as a guest on other shows. She's doing very well, I think. And I've been enjoying her program when I get a chance to see it. And good to have another voice on the liberal side of things, and she most assuredly is on the liberal side of things. I'm sure, and I don't have time to talk about it very much, but I'm sure you've all seen now that there were memos to the CIA that have been discovered talking about waterboarding. So the okay for the waterboarding came straight from the top. We know that now. I guess there's not much else we can say about the Bush administration. We know that they've been unethical. We know that they've been illegal. We know that they've been bad for America in just about any way possible. And it's no surprise to find out that the White House endorsed the CIA waterboarding. It's nothing unusual about it. It's just finally that it is out there in the open. Hey, thanks so much for listening today. Always appreciate having your support on the program. I would like to remind you that we are a listener-supported program, and we could certainly use your help to the program right now if you're so inclined. I guess we'll be back tomorrow with a full report of the debate tonight. We'll see what happens. Like you, I'm wondering what will happen. Will there be any fireworks from McCain? Or will he just sit there and give some more of his phony answers? I don't know what's going to happen. Anyway, thanks for joining us here in the Guy James Show this afternoon. Always a pleasure. Stay tuned for Mark and Bob, and we'll be back tomorrow with more of the Guy James Show here in the Head On Radio Network. And don't forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Later, gang.